Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 79 of Cephalon Squared. My name's Cephalon Greg, I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you doing?
I'm exhausted.
You sure are, you poor young fella. You've been doing all sorts of hard work today, haven't you?
I have. It's been a very busy weekend.
It has. You deserve a Snickers?
How about a beer?
Probably a beer would be good. I feel like a beer too.
Maybe even a scotch.
Yes, that would be lovely. How's the weather up north? Weather rambles.
Weather rambles.
Weather rambles.
Weather rambles. Well, the weather here in Ipswich is a bit weird. It's been raining, it's been sunny, it's been rainy, it's been sunny, and it's currently 26 degrees Celsius with 81% humidity.
Indeed, it's 79 degrees Fahrenheit for you crazy people out there. Yeah, it's pretty much the same down here in Melbourne. It's been raining and sunny and raining and sunny. I actually went to the beach today because it was quite warm on my side of town while there was flooding on the other side of Melbourne.
Oh, yay!
Yes, I don't get it. Whatever. I enjoyed the beach. Other people did not enjoy flooding, so if that happened to you, I'm sorry. There's also been flooding up in Queensland, hasn't there?
There has been, yes. Yes, Australia's just going from one extreme to another.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no in between.
Fires and floods all at the same time.
Yep.
Anyway, down here in Melbourne...
We're cold.
Exactly. Now you get that song in my head. It's 24 degrees Celsius down here. That's 75 degrees Fahrenheit with 66% humidity. So it's similar down here to what it is up north. And I've still got that song in my head. I don't like you, Lucas.
Dislike
you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. So, video games. What'd you get up to this week? Or whatever.
Hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo. Okay, so a lot of this week was Warframe and Ark, which is all good and dandy and it's a whole lot of fun, but Saturday was awesome. I got my hands on a key code for the stress test for Temtem. Oh my god, I cannot wait for the release.
What's Temtem, people ask?
It's basically a MMO creature collection game similar to Pokemon.
And yet it's an MMO.
Yes. It does have a lot of co-op capabilities, as all the battles in the game are 2v2, so you can team up with friends and allies and whatnot to partake through the campaign. There are side quests, there are main quests, there's a lot better world building just in the first 5 minutes of the game than most of any of the Pokemon games I've played in the past, to be honest.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
They're definitely fighting words.
Interesting.
But,
I have no friggin' seat on this train. I don't give a shit either way. But I'm old. Pokemon was a kid's thing when I was a teenager. I was too cool for that shit. Anyway, yeah, I didn't get up to anything. I haven't played much. I've been enjoying, I know I talked about my burnout a little bit recently. I've been enjoying doing not much, and I feel the energy coming back, which is good, because I needed it. I have played a game called Trails of Cold Steel 3 on PS4, because I have to do a review for it. It's a good game, but man, it's such a Japanese role-playing game.
It's
tedious.
You always get the Japanese role-play games.
Yeah. Oh, Greg, he likes Japan. He'll play the Japanese role-playing games. No, I don't like Japanese role-playing games. Well, I like some of them. The Final Fantasy series tends to be fun. I don't know. This one's just long-winded. Anyway, speaking of long-winded, let's move on.
Yay.
This is probably going to be a long-winded episode. There was a bit of news, not terribly much, but there was a dev stream this week, DevStream 136. Now, it was followed by 3 hours of festivities. Sadly, neither Lucas nor myself had the energy to stay up for the 3 hours. I've passed out, and so did Lucas.
Yep.
So we missed them. Now, I've tried to go through it. There was little bits and pieces that were mentioned here and there, but there was nothing super important. We're only going to cover the dev stream here. If there was anything massively important that you heard in one of those 3 hours, feel free to reach out to us, cephalonsquared@gmail.com. We would like to cover it. We missed it.
I feel like there was one thing that was really important in those 3 hours, but we'll get into that later.
We will mention that one thing that really just excites Lucas. But still, we'll get there. All right, so firstly, and on that note, because it's a dev stream and we're going to go over it in a fair amount of detail, we've chosen to skip the beginner and advanced topics again this week, so apologies for that.
And but it has they will nothing be back. To do with me being completely exhausted from doing housework all day.
Nuh-uh, none of that. No sorry. Anyway, into the news. Would you like to start, Lucas?
I shall, yes. So, the team is back, and there has already been a hell of a lot of hot fixes to hit PC, and many folks are saying that Railjack is already improved as a result, and they are correct. So many things have been balanced out, numbers have been boosted, the repair drones have been removed from the market and are now being made a reward for Railjack missions, so yay, all the good things are good.
Indeed. There's so much to go over that we decided not to go over everything. I'll put a link in the show notes if you do want to look at the hotfix notes to see what has changed. But yeah, like you said, heaps. Next up, and not the smallest piece of news, Empyrean's now live on Switch. Yay! Kermit the Frog flailing his arms.
Yay! Hey, cool. Kermit the Frog here with hey, the leaves with a Raptor.
Yay.
Next up, Twitch Prime members can grab a new booster pack. Contains a 7-day affinity booster and a 7-day credit booster.
So yeah, link your accounts, go get those. They're both worthwhile, as you know, if you've played Warframe for more than 5 minutes. DE has offered an in-game floof to support bushfires in Australia. They've also donated to a couple of different charities to help support us here in Australia. Well, not us. Luckily, Lucas and I are quite safe, but to support the people and animals of Australia. So thank you to DE for that.
Many thanks.
Indeed. Links to places that you can donate if you'd like to help as well will also be included in the show notes.
Yay! As a result of the new year and DE being back, they've decided to drop the Operation Plague Star. It is back, and it's on all platforms. So you need, if you need some former.
You're just reading out my notes. Yeah. That's meant to say, you know you need some former.
I'm exhausted. Leave me alone.
Hi, Exhausted. Can I call you Mr. Exhausted?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I should have put this note straight after the last one about the bushfires. Guy Cunningham, who is the voice behind Ticker and a fellow Australian, has recorded a little video calling out for support for the bushfires. This was shown on DevStream 136 and is also being shared on Warframe's Twitch. It looks like he's sitting somewhere in the city of Melbourne. You can see the Melbourne skyline out the back of the window behind him. So, yeah, support us.
Yay, Ticker.
Yay, thanks, Ticker.
Okay, the friend of the show, Xenogallion, is looking for support, so please go check out his videos and help if you can, especially if you enjoy his work. And as an added bonus, please help him get his subscribers to 20k so we can get him to do a 24-hour Railjack stream.
Indeed. Indeed. So he's under the strain of his workload as well, and he really needs some more supporters in order to be able to keep going with some of the shows such as Arbiters and things that he does that people love. So I'll put a link to his video. Have a watch. See what you think. And if you are in a position to help, please do. Otherwise, share it in case someone else is.
Just a little bit of a sidetrack. It's actually quite interesting that Xeno put that video up today, and at the same time, Dorkly actually put up a video saying that they're about to go under themselves and are possibly looking at ending the channel.
Dorkly, really?
Dorkly, yeah.
Wow, that's massive.
Yeah. So
yeah, shit. I guess you know Dorkly would be classified as a small business, and it can be really difficult to manage. Maybe they didn't manage their funds well enough in the early days. Scary.
Mm. So they're going to try and keep their head above water, but it's kind of questionable at the moment.
Mm. Dorkly's been around for a long time, and their content's quite good, mostly. So, yeah, maybe support them as well, if you can.
Yeah.
Support us all! Ha ha! Otherwise, there'll be no content. There'll still be content, I guess, but still. All right. Cannibal Kiwi. Another person who is streaming. He's joined our stream team, so he will be streaming on the Cephalon Squared account on Sundays at 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, so keep an eye out for him and give him some support. We do, of course, still have Rathok streaming on Mondays at the same time on the Cephalon Squared account, or thereabouts, and Lucas, of course, streaming Saturday nights at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, depends when he gets it started. He has had some computer troubles over the last couple of weeks, have you not, Lucas?
I have. I hate computers.
He has not been able to stream the last couple of nights, and we're looking into what that problem is and trying to get that fixed. So apologies to anyone who has joined the stream when it said we've gone live and then 10 minutes later it's dropped out. But yeah, computers are a pain in the bum. Now, do note there have been some other people that have reached out to me via email, etc. Some of you I have not yet got back to, but we will. And thank you for offering. We're just looking into what we can do and the times and all that kind of stuff. Keep in mind, if you do want to be in our stream team, you need to be streaming regularly and you need to have a PC. Even if you're going to stream from your PS4, you need to stream through a game capture card to a PC, because we give you a stream key, and PS4s and Xboxes don't allow you to input a stream key. They only allow you to link to your own Twitch account. So, yeah. It has to be through a PC.
Yay, hassle.
Exactly. Hoops to jump through. That is all for all of the news, including our own news. Thank you to our stream team. We've got to really update that, maybe advertise it every week or something somewhere. We'll figure it out.
Update and promote the stream team.
Yeah, go stream. Let's move into the discussion about DevStream 136. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, the first one's non-issue, so I'll just start that. They started out with thank yous and happy new years. Of course. Duh.
Yay.
What they continue with, Lucas?
They continued with the Corpus faction coming next to Railjack.
It didn't sound too far away. I don't think it's like next week, but I also don't think it's freaking June either.
No, I mean, they have been working on the Corpus Cruiser tile set for a while now.
Yeah, I guess that makes things easier.
I reckon we'll see things maybe late February, early March.
Yeah, I'm thinking March. I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I'm thinking March, April.
March, April. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yes, there is also a new rendering system coming to the PC, which will make Warframe look even better, but will be more taxing on your PC. It will be opt-in only, so you won't have to opt out of it. It will only be if you want to try it, and that's coming soon-ish, so it sounds like it's probably going to be in the next mainline for PC. Cool.
Yeah, they did say they're kind of aiming for beginning of February for that one. Yeah. As we mentioned before, Plague Star is back, and it ends on Monday the 18th of February.
No, January. Shit. What? Why did I say Monday the 18th? That's so weird. It must be the 28th.
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 You're wrong.
Monday the 28th. It was more... That's Tuesday. Monday the 27th. Frickin' hell.
Okay, well, Greg's wrong.
Starting again, Plague Star is back, and it ends on Monday the 27th. God, see, this is what happens. Us poor Aussies have to get up at the butt crack of dawn just to watch these videos, and I make mistakes.
Yep. But we all are going to blame Greg.
That's fine. That's fine. You do anyway. Next up is the special message from Guy Cunningham, the voice of Ticker. So if you do want to see that, it is early on in the dev stream.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay, experience with Warframe 2019 shows that the vocal minority is just that, a minority. A majority of people were quite happy with 2019, us included.
Yeah, so it was really interesting to see. So this is actually where they went into the survey that they put out towards the end of the year, which was, it was funny because they did a survey using the same survey platform we did about a week after we did ours. Seriously, DE, I know, you know, we're pretty cool Cephalons. But the copying is obvious.
I honestly have to say, Steve is probably one of the most chilled developers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He basically just made a massive joke out of everyone hating on Warframe. It was great.
It was. And in the end, you know, it's something like this that shows that the vocal minority is just a vocal minority that probably lets him sleep at night.
Yeah.
Because some people out there complain so much about everything, but those people are the ones that have spent 2,000 hours in game and they just want to complain. And that's not everyone, you know, and it is worth complaining. It is worth giving the team some feedback. But at the same time, there's so many more people that are earlier in the game and still going through things and don't even understand why some of these people are complaining. And I think it's important that even the complainers understand that. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, DE does not listen to their community, all right? You're wrong. You're wrong, Greg. They don't listen.
They don't listen. They don't get feedback. All right, so then the next main... So I didn't put all of the points down about what they showed because some of it was a bit dull. So the next thing they showed off that was the favorite thing about Warframe that people said, and the one that was almost not even non-existent was social features. So people don't care that much about the social features of Warframe. The majority of people didn't give a crap about it. It was pretty much balanced across the other three options, which were art and design, combat, and challenge. They were pretty much a third each.
Warframe is a game about introverts, all right, Greg?
It really is. it's starting to look that way.
Next up, it was, what did you enjoy most? And it was Imperium, followed by the Melee reworks, new Warframes, and Nightwave, at the very least.
Yeah, and next question was the complete opposite. What did you enjoy least? Which was Kuva Liches, followed by Railjack. And that was really interesting. So people said they enjoyed Imperium most, and second least.
Yes. Yes.
Even the team acknowledged that it made sense because Imperium was fun, but it was also frustrating and imperfect. And yeah, so they understood why some people actually did put it down for both. I am still surprised, though, at the hate that Kuva Liches gets.
Oh, yeah. No, that's unbelievable.
I'm really surprised by it. I understand it. I understand that it's an imperfect system. I agree that the grind is a pain in the ass, all that kind of stuff, but I just didn't think it was that bad. And it really gets shit on by the sound of things.
Yeah, I was talking with a couple of the Discord folks yesterday about it, and yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable just how much the Kuva Lich system is despised.
Yeah. So, they do talk about that a little bit later on, but yeah.
Negative impact on experience is repetition and grind followed by bugs. And, you know, who really likes bugs?
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense. It's interesting that the grind outweighed bugs.
Yeah.
Why would... I don't know. Warframe is a game about grind and repetition.
Yeah.
I don't know why people complain about
grind. People just want to receive the rewards. They don't want to work for it.
Yeah. I just don't get it. To me, grind is what makes Warframe.
Exactly right.
Without the grind, it'd be friggin' boring.
Without the grind, you'd play it once and then play something else.
Anyway, most respondees play Warframe daily. Now, that's not surprising.
Nope.
Anyone who was willing to take the time to respond to a survey about Warframe is most likely a more hardcore Warframe player. So that makes sense. Most likely, not necessarily, definitely, but yeah.
Mostly.
Nobody calls me Rebecca, except my brother.
And the next question was, what do you want most? And it's obviously New War. Followed by the Daviri Paradox, then Railjack Expansions.
Did you put New War in there? Because I put Daviri Paradox.
I actually put Railjack Expansions.
Oh, there you go. Interesting. Yeah, because I'm more interested in what the fungal is going on in the Daviri Paradox. I definitely want to see New War, but I know that's coming real soon.
Don't get me wrong. I do want to see the New War, and I do want to see the Daviri Paradox, but the Railjack expansions are basically going to lead into the new war, and I feel like they're also going to lead into the Dviri paradox. So the quicker we get those expansions out, the quicker we can get the other stuff.
Fair enough. And of course, the Railjack expansions are just going to improve on Railjack and make it a better system overall. So that's also really needed. All right. The next few questions I skipped, and the only question that I cared about there was in regards to lore. And one of the questions was basically asking, how important do you think lore is? And the vast majority said very important, like 90% or something of people that responded said it was super important.
Oh, yeah. Definitely,
and that was surprising. That one. Yeah. I mean, of course, it is important to us, but I didn't realize that it was that important to so many people. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that don't give a shit about story. But, yeah, people are pretty keen, which is cool.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, that was the last question that we covered.
Last question. So we're done with the survey. The survey is done and dusted. Now we're moving on to Prex cards. So D showed off a few, adding lore to the game. So they're going to go back and add a few more frames to the Leverian, plus the Prex cards, so we can expect to see stuff for Ember, Vorben, Ivara, Gas and Grendel, which we've already got, and the cards all look fantastic.
Indeed. I think Vorben's already in there. I think they didn't add Ember and they didn't add Ivara, which they need to go back and add from memory, but I'm pretty sure Vorben's already in there because someone was saying it to me recently. Thanks, someone! All right. Cross save. They have, the one thing they mentioned here is that they actually have a programmer assigned to cross save now.
Ooh.
But they also said that things like Empyrean has muddied the waters even further.
Oh.
Because on one platform you might have unlocked Empyrean, on another you haven't, on one platform you're halfway through the quest, on another you're not. So, the more they add to the game, the more it adds a layer of complexity to cross-save. So, basically, this was Steve, said cross-save is something that they want to work on. It is something that they want to offer. But there is also a vocal group within DE that is against cross-save.
That's
because it's so complex.
Yes.
So I think when people think, Fortnite just pressed a button and turned it on, they didn't think about the fact that Fortnite was a year old and hardly complex in terms of its cosmetic structure and etc.
Yeah. Ba-bow.
And I think Fortnite was also designed for cross-save right from the start.
Yeah, it does have that vibe.
Anyway, that's that.
That's that. So another thing that's being worked on at the current moment is Nightwave Season 3, The Glass Maker.
Very interesting. Yes. Very interesting. I wonder if it's got anything to do with Gaara, because it's Glass Maker and she's the only glass frame. I don't know,
because I mean,
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like this one's going to be Corpus-based. It'd be nice to actually finally have a Corpus-based one.
People want it to be Corpus.
Yeah. I mean, I just see Glassmaker and I kind of think either, like you did, Gaara or the Glass Gambit, but
that's a different word. Yeah. That's glassed.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I want Corpus stuff. But with a name like that, it sounds cool, it sounds interesting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds C2C to me, that's the only thing. Anyway, but that's probably just because of Gaara that's affecting my thoughts. Okie dokie, they then showed off some Corpus stuff. There was a few images on screen of some new Corpus units and some new Corpus weapons, including a pretty cool-looking railgun /
I want that thing. That looks pretty cool. Nasty.
For all you know, Lucas, it might just drip water out the front.
Maybe, but it still looks nasty. It's an intimidation factor.
Fair enough. Intimidation doesn't kill enemies.
No, but it makes them run away.
I guess. They also showed off a mini mower, which was cute, but why? I guess it depends what it does.
Yeah.
I guess for all of those fellow trolls out there, let's hoping the mini mower is another...
Nullifier.
That's the word I was looking for. Another nullifier unit.
I hope it's worse than a nullifier, to be honest.
Ooh. Well, we did have Muth up in our Discord suggesting that there should be a unit that strips you of your mods while you're within the field. That didn't go down well
for
many people. But I like the idea.
It's a creative idea.
Yeah. It makes the game challenging, and it's not permanent. It doesn't strip you of your mods permanently.
What about...
until you kill the dude.
What about a nullifying mower that also has the ability to disarm you?
Get out, Lucas. That's taking things a little bit too far.
You're welcome.
All right, moving on.
Next up, Corpus Rework has been going on for a while, and this will include history on the founding of the Corpus buried deep in there. Corpus Railjack will be more focused on larger ships as composed to Grineer, which is smaller ships in a larger space. Sounds like the goal is still a few months out, but it's exciting and it's awesome and we cannot wait.
Indeed, that should say as opposed to Grineer, but again, I was tired when I made these notes.
And I'm tired reading these notes.
So yeah, basically what they were saying is that they've already designed the big, larger scale, cool Corpus ships. And yeah, that it's going to be more of a... kind of like, you know, there's a few missions in Railjack, in later sections of Railjack, where you need to kill the boss.
Ah, and the galleon ships.
Run through a ship, the galleon ships. It's going to be more like that, they mentioned. So that is pretty damn cool. And also, lore.
Lore.
The founding of the Corpus. That is very cool, because we have often wondered about that ourselves, including in our lore casts. So that... is, I'm looking forward to it.
Hell yeah.
All right, the next one. There's not so much some new bosses that are coming.
More of a mini-boss rework?
It's a mini-boss rework. So yeah, it's Venkratel and Sprag, the two that you encounter in Grineer sabotage missions, where you end up in the void and you've got to get the void keys and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, they got reworked. They look a lot better. I'm wondering if it's going to come with mechanics rework as well. Because they're annoying. I mean, they're not that hard, but they're very similar to sort of Lekkryl with the backpack on their back type of idea.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. Did they say where these bosses will be situated?
Don't know. I was just assuming that they were going to be the same bosses in the same place, but maybe not.
Mm.
They just sort of mentioned them and showed the picture and moved on.
Yeah. I'd be hoping to see them pop up in Railjack, to be honest.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
they should show up more often because, you know, they're Grineer enemies.
Yeah.
I did get, from the images of them, I did get a kind of Harley Quinn vibe.
Yes. Yes, very much.
That was kind of cool.
It is. And their weapons are very interesting as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Next up, Liches. You either love them or you either hate them. They're getting reworked. Changes are definitely coming. They're removing the forced failures and reworking the RNG hunt to make it less painful. Looking to introduce a bait system so you can lure out the ones with the specific weapons you are chasing. Potentially even uncapping the level system for liches, and it's coming soonish.
Yeah, so it's something they're working on actively at the moment with a goal to fix that up soon. And as much as I don't think that the Lich system deserves the hate that it gets, I definitely agree that it deserves it. Needs a rework.
Yes. Yes.
It just doesn't deserve to be hated. The forced failures, I didn't actually see as a problem, but I understand that it sort of goes... It flies in the face of the law. You're supposed to be this tough-ass mofo and this one guy who you... just recently became a lich, now can kill you because you haven't figured out the magical combination for what kills him. I get that. It's kind of weird.
It is, but it's weird. Not. But at the same time, I mean, having an enemy that, you know, no longer being the top of the food chain is what we need.
Mm. I like being handed my ass every once in a while. It's good. I like the fact that it's a tough fight. But when you beat it, I think what the people were complaining about is when you beat the damn thing and you get there and you go to try and kill it, it kills you, is what they don't like. Not the fact that it's a tough enemy. just the fact that you've beaten it down to nothing and you go to stab it to kill it, but if you don't have the right magical combination, it kills you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. I agree. But it's not worth complaining over like people have. I don't know. Anyway, they're going to get rid of that.
Yay.
And they're going to rework stuff and I'm going to sneeze.
Sneeze. No, do it. Do it, sneeze.
I'm not.
Now.
I'm not. Go. Stuff it. Stuff it. No, not going to please you.
No.
Okay. I'm going to move on from liches to the next point, which was one of the my favorite things from the entire
mine too.
They showed off their ideas for the infested Railjack. It was really just some concepts at this stage, but the plan is to have infested microplanets. So basically the spores that are is the infestation have gone out into space and they have created their own infestation in space that's little planets. It looks amazing. It's going to be really different to the other environments. I wonder how it's going to fit into Railjack, because it sounded like you're going to fly your Railjack in and just land on these little planets and then you're in a normal mission. Doesn't seem to make sense for why you're in Railjack, but I'm hoping that there's going to be some sentient spores or something that are flying around trying to infect your ship and you've got to shoot them while you're flying around in Railjack. I don't know. It just sounds cool. It looks like an amazing... What do you think, Lucas?
Many, many excitements.
Yeah. I mean, they did show off a couple of the planetscapes, if you can call it that, as well. And they just looked really cool. It reminded me of... And this not only shows my age, but is very, very specific. So maybe no one else will see it and will know what I'm talking about. Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds is a very popular musical score from the 70s and 80s. And if you ever saw anyone that owned it, it had some very interesting imagery in there. And the Red Weed, I think it was called, from the War of the Worlds, that's what it looks like.
Nice.
I don't know why I brought that up, because probably 90% of people listening are going, what the fuck's he talking about? Look it up. Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, Red Weed. You'll enjoy it.
Google is your friend.
It is.
Next up, Ivara Deluxe, and she looks great. Lots of metallics, lots of shininess. Fan-frickin-tastic.
Still not sure I care.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way and buy it, but it looks good.
It did look good. There are a lot of metallics on that.
Mm, very shiny.
Half of her body was metallics. So I'll give him that. All right, moving right along. There is a new augment coming along. I mean, really, there needs to be a hell of a lot more augments. There's been a whole bunch of new frames that have come out over the last year, and none of them have augments yet.
Mm.
Plus, as Wooshy was saying in our Discord, Limbo still doesn't have an augment for his fourth ability. So there's so many frames out there that have been around for a long time that still don't have all their augments.
Including Zephyr.
Including Zephyr, okay. This one that they did announce and mention and demonstrate was a lull. They didn't demonstrate it. They showed off the mod. It's a lull augment for Baruch. And it's the notes on it were that doing a finisher on a sleeping enemy will re-trigger lull for 100% of the remaining duration. So that's pretty cool.
That's actually awesome. Like, chain sleep.
Yeah. As long as you are cognizant to use your finishes. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you're building a range build on Baruch for lull,
yeah,
then this is an amazing mod, because then you can be standing behind a corner, activate lull, enemies come running around the corner, they fall asleep, you finish them, they then disperse the lull again, and it just keeps going on and on and on. Everyone falls asleep.
You fall asleep. You fall asleep. You fall asleep.
It's great. Fantastic.
Says Baruch fan. Moving on.
All right. Fortuna will be getting a mini expansion. Now, they didn't really tell us all the things that are coming. They only really just kind of touched that we're getting a new melee-based mower.
Woo! Yeah, it was interesting. And it was interesting because it was actually the DE team that called it a mini expansion. Mm. But then all they talked about was the melee mower. So is the melee mower that's coming to legs going to be the only part of that expansion? In which case, I wouldn't call it an expansion.
I hope not. I feel like I hope there's going to be more things.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I mean, was it? Tactical Potato was basically saying that there's still a Orb Mother sitting in a jacuzzi outside.
Yeah, that's true. There is. And they did say that was an Orb Mother. They meant they recognized that.
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, this was another very big bit of news that came out of this episode. Awesome. Pablo came out on stage, the great Pablo, to talk about a new Warframe that he's working on. This is a female frame. Her name, at the moment at least, is Odalisk. She's techie, and she looks very much like Wisp with feet. Like, I thought they were just showing off Wisp.
I kind of had that vibe too.
Yeah, she looks a little bit too much like Wisp, maybe. But I guess the colours can change things.
Yeah.
They didn't show anything off because there were no in-game... I don't think she's even been rendered yet. I think he's still in the initial design work for her.
We've seen her animations, at the least.
Did we?
Last dev stream of last year.
Oh, that's right. They did too.
Hacky sack frame.
That's right. All right, so her first ability, at least as it stands now, is she throws a bunch of grenades. So they can either be... I've written crowds, but it should say clouds. Clouds of shrapnel or a trench bubble protection. What that means, I don't know. I was half asleep. So it sounds like either way it's going to be a little bit of... Well, one way CC and damage, the other way protection, putting a bubble around you. Yes. Why they called it a trench bubble, I don't know. The second ability is turret-based, but it's not actually a turret that is persistent. It's a turret that shoots 3 or 4 shots and then disappears. Each hit that you get with the shot increases the damage output and adds a little bit of an AoE blast. Cool. Sounds like it needs to be worked a bit more, personally.
We'll see.
The third ability drops like a backpack that gives you some energy, some health, and an ammo pack. I think that's a good idea. Probably best for... I don't know. Does it sound like a good third ability? Maybe.
I personally would probably swap the 2 and the 3 around. Make the 2 more support-based and the 3 more artillery.
Yeah, I think so. But, I agree. It sounds a bit weak as for a third ability.
Yeah. I mean, for all we know, it could be more than just like a little backpack. It could just be like an actual tower that lasts for about 60 seconds or even a bit longer, and you just continuously go up to it and receive all the goodies that you need.
Could be, in which case that'd be better.
Yeah.
And the last one is a rewind power, which is kind of cool. Reminded me very much of Tracer from Overwatch. You press a button to save your current state, and then you continue doing whatever you're doing, blah, 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 blah. And when you're ready, you press a button again to rewind back to the same saved state that you pressed the button in originally, with the same amount of health and energy, etc., that you originally had. Sounds a little bit overpowered, because you could have full energy and full health and then go off and completely deplete everything, and then press the button again and completely go back to 100% energy and health.
I feel like that one needs to be duration-based.
It's probably going to be duration-based.
Yeah.
Because, it sounds a little bit too powerful. Maybe if it comes at the cost of halving your energy or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, her passive is that every 4th ability gets 100% power strength. I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I hate having to count where I'm up to.
Well, I mean, they might have a counter, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. They probably will.
And that still really kind of just means that looking at her abilities, it's like, okay, cool. You cast the trench bubble. You cast the shrapnel bomb. You cast rewind time. And then you cast the turret.
Yeah.
4 moves. There you go. I'm excited for it. If this is the direction they want to go for her, then she's already feeling like a very... tech strategic soldier, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think she's definitely a bit different, which is cool. I have seen some weird takes out there on the internet. Someone, I think it was a creator, was complaining that, hey, why bring out this new frame that probably could have been a better rework of Vorben? Mm. I'm like, that's not really fair, because why would they completely change Vorben? I guess they're just complaining because this frame's getting a turret and people wanted Vorben to have a turret. Well, tough titties.
Yeah, stiff shit. Things happen.
Yeah, too bad.
Besides, you can't really change up everything that makes Vorben.
No, you can't.
And this is basically nothing that Vorben does.
Exactly. So take that. All right. Yeah, I guess I'm interested. I'm not going to do what I did with Wisp and say, no, it sounds really crap. I'm just going to say, yeah, it sounds all right.
We'll see how it goes when it gets released.
Exactly.
Next up, clan sigils potentially coming to the game so you can show off your emblem as a sigil. This is kind of cool.
Indeed. I mean, it is kind of cool. Makes me a little sad, though.
Because Cephalon Square does not yet have a sigil?
Because Cephalon Square does not yet have an emblem or a glyph.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to get working on that. DE is actually taking partner glyphs, applications for partner glyphs at the moment. And sadly, we don't have any artwork prepared, and there's only a couple of days left, so we're going to miss out again, possibly for another year.
Oof.
And that's why I'm disappointed, because I was basically saving up money to get it done. So I think I'm going to have to get it done now, just so that it's done, and we've got a glyph ready for when they do it. But I'll get a glyph and an emblem done at the same time, so they can be done by the same artist, maybe.
Yeah.
Disappointed myself. I'm disappointed in you, dude.
These things happen, unfortunately.
They do. Sad panda. Anyway, next up, they talked about modular arc wings. Now, this one's going to get some lips a-wagging because arc wings are confirmed to be getting a complete rework. All current arc wings will be pulled apart and moved to the modular system, which will also include a complete rework of abilities to fit better within the Railjack system. I think this is 100% the right decision.
Yep, definitely.
I think it is. It's a tough decision, especially because there's a lot of MR27s out there who grinded through every single Arc Wing who are probably going to be a little bit pissed off about it.
A bit salty.
And I can understand that. I mean, I'm sure they're probably going to keep the mastery in there somehow.
Yeah.
Which will enable you to have kept the grind that you've already done. But still, I think it's better overall in that it's going to result in a system that you can pick and choose what you want. And it's also going to have better abilities, because let's face it, the abilities on Arc Wings are a bit poopy.
Yeah. All right. Damage is getting looked at once again. Now, they are trying a new armor system referred to as an S-curve, and by the sounds of things, enemies will be getting reduced armor the higher level they go. It will kind of be plateauing out, but with a slight rise. And their damage will actually be getting increased exponentially to kind of balance it out. So, less bullet sponge, more lethality.
Yes, which I think is a good idea.
I'm keen on this. I like this.
I like it. I just want to see how it works in practice because the longer you've played the game, you are highly lethal. So if they're less of a bullet sponge, they're going to go down even faster.
That's true. That is true. But with them getting more damage output on themselves and dealing more damage to you, that means it kind of feels more like, okay, the bullet sponge is disappearing. It's easier to kill them, but it's also easier for you to die. So if you're not moving and you're not keeping focused on your surroundings, you could get hit by a stray bullet and die and not even realize.
Well, they did say that they don't want it to...
They don't, of course, yeah, they don't want to do the one-shot kill thing, but yeah.
But like Lord Shaxx says in Destiny, your opponent can't kill you when they're dead.
Exactly.
So, it's just one of those things where if you can get the one up on them, they're going to go down even easier. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like the armor system is not just going to affect the enemies. It's also going to affect us. So, it's going to be a change to the armor system completely for the entire game. So, that's interesting. But still. So, I guess we've got to wait and see what they're going to do.
Patience.
Indeed. And lastly, of course, the team is looking to add more difficult content. They've got a bunch of ideas. They've got nothing to share at the moment. They want to add difficulty to the game, but the way that the game has been built over the last 7 years does make it difficult. So, patience, Padawan.
Yes. Patience, indeed.
All right, so talk about that one thing that we heard from the extended dev stream.
All right, that one thing that is clearly the most important thing in the entire dev stream is now we can expect to see a new gunblade. Not just any new gunblade, though. We're getting a Corpus gunblade. I know.
Yay. I
know. Hold your applause. It's awesome. Calm down. We got to be patient. It's coming. We don't know when, but yes. Corpus gunblade.
It's not gunchucks, though, so curb your disappointment. Anyway, that was good. And while I was passing in and out of consciousness, I did hear other things, and I do remember hearing someone, I think, from the sound team maybe say something that they shouldn't have while the sound team was doing things. But, yeah, I can't remember what it was. So,
sleepy. Boo, sleepy Greg. Sleepy.
Boo to Greg and boo to Lucas.
Yeah.
But especially Greg. But especially Lisa. All right, so that was DevStream 136. It was pretty good. It wasn't as good as I was... I think it was good all over, all up. It just wasn't... You know, I wanted more detail on stuff like the fucking...
Wanted more detail and stuff, but for the first DevStream of the year, they gave us information on a new frame, new open world stuff, new reworks of enemies and systems... New Railjack.
About all of the Railjack plans, pretty much.
Yeah, so they gave us a lot of information, but they didn't really go into detail on one particular thing. So we got a lot, but we kind of just got skin value.
Skin value.
Yep. Skin value.
Skid value.
Skin. Skin value.
Okay, that's better. Okay, skin value.
Yep.
Get it on a t-shirt, folks. All right, so. That was quite a lengthy discussion, which is, again, why we're skipping the beginner and advanced topics and has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Lucas was really tired and didn't get a chance to revise or start the study. So we're moving on into the community call-out. The reviews update is that we have no reviews, which makes me a little bit sad, but hey, it was the holiday period. That's what I'm putting it down to. No one's out there trying to break my heart. Don't go breaking my heart.
They will.
They will go breaking my heart. Anyway, there is a review, though. And this one came quite a while ago from Podcast Republic. And because it's on a completely separate platform, I kept forgetting to read it out on the show. So, Lucas, would you like to be my guest?
I shall. I'm going to be see a little best. Bit... A little bit difficult with that last name, but I will try and...
You'll
yes,
get there.
Yes. So, Podcast Republic, Trojan, Margots, 5-star. Great variety, covers lots of mechanics in the game, lore, and news. Worth skipping the first 10 mins, because normally they're talking about nonsense like the weather and their weeks. But other than that, Podcast is 5-star. Join their Discord.
Yay! Thanks, Trojan. Agree that the weather and our week is nonsense. Never. Never nonsense. It's sense. And lots of people, some people like it. 50-50, yes. 5 stars. Thumbs up.
I mean, the weather I can kind of understand, but, you know, about our weeks. No one wants to hear about other games.
Yeah. That was interesting, actually, because, yeah, there was another person that said a similar thing at one stage, said, don't want to listen to you talk about other games. Just want to hear about a Warframe podcast. And I was like, but... Maybe it's a game you've never heard of and
maybe might it's be a interested game you'll to try. Enjoy.
Mm. Exactly. Man, my dad's not a phone.
But thank you for the review. Much indeed. Appreciative.
We do appreciate it. And you're still the only review on Podcast Republic. So if you do use Podcast Republic, chuck a review on there. Join Trojan Margets. That guy. Next, Dr. Cephalon. Dr. Cephalon, yeah.
Dr. Cephalon.
So this one's a long one, but I thought it was an interesting discussion. And this one's from Tremanth in our Discord. And Tremanth says, Dear Dr. Cephalon, one thing that struck me about this game is the suggestion that there are millions or billions of unaligned, non-combatant human colonists scattered across the system, but we only interact with them rarely. We see them in Fortuna, Cetus, and the relays. We see them in Nightwave and quest cutscenes. I'm not sure we are the system's good guys, but I feel like I would buy into that premise a little more if we interacted with the hoi polloi. Am I alone in feeling like we don't see the regular Joe, Jane, Jixney more? And if not, what would you recommend to better feel like the Tenno are actually doing something good for the people of the system, rather than being another axis in the fight for control of the system? Now, it's long, it's lengthy. I think it's a good question. It's very hard to answer. There was a response in Discord that I thought was interesting as well, and this one came from Raven. Raven said, the system feels very empty. Even Cetus doesn't feel like it's heavily populated. And then the Ostron act like seeing a Tenno walking around and interacting with them is just an everyday occurrence. Konzu seems way too familiar when it comes to interacting with a godlike killing machine. What do you think about all these points?
Well, I mean, if it was any other game, I guess I would... Okay, I completely agree with it, but if it was any other game, one way I would look at fixing this would be to use the central race as a kind of like the anchor and give you that hub city feel that you kind of need for something like this. The only problem with Warframe, though, is that core race that would give you that feel is... the Orokin, and well, yeah,
exactly. I mean, I think it's a tricky one because I think DE has tried to do that, and that's why there's so many people to talk to in each of the locations. You've got, you know, even just on Cetus, you've got Fish Lady, you've got Rock Dude, you've got Nakak, you've got Konzu, you've got Hawk at his anvil, plus you've got the Quills. So you've got six or so different people to talk at a market to buy different things from. I think they've tried to give you that kind of feeling. I think the only thing that's probably really missing is just the opportunity to walk up to someone and press X to have a conversation with them. But in the end, that gets really dull and repetitive. I mean... we've got, what's his name? Powders and Dyes!
Yeah.
We've got him continually saying the same thing about how much he loves Cerulean Eyes and all that kind of stuff. Do we want more people talking out there? I mean, the more you interact with the normal people, that means you've got to remember more people to go to get a certain thing. Because then you've got to remember on Fortuna, there's Ticker, there's the business, there's Legs, there's, you know, there's already so many people and they're trying to add that. Maybe those people are missing from the Plains of Eidolon. It'd be interesting if while you're out on the Plains of Eidolon, you sometimes saw just an Ostron running from being chased from someone, you had to save that person.
Yeah, I mean, that would work.
Or there's a trailer of goods coming back and you have to escort it back through, or, you know, things like that, maybe.
Kind of like the random occurrences that happen in Horizon Zero Dawn. Hey, you're just kind of like walking between places and every now and again you'll see an NPC in distress and you can either opt to stop and save them or help them out or completely ignore them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe something that's missing. I just don't know how much more it can be added. And with Konzu being very familiar with us, yeah, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, the amount of times you talk to him, eventually he's got to be familiar with you.
Yeah.
And again, I just don't want that repetitive. I don't want someone to be calling me a godlike killing machine constantly, personally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it would be, you know, one thing that I feel they need to do is actually give us more places to visit that kind of tie in with things that are missing in the game. So, for example, the bases of the syndicates.
Iron Wake was a good start.
The Iron Wake was a fantastic start. And, you know, one thing, like, thinking about it at the moment, the whole godlike killing machine, praise the Tenno, praise the Warframe thing, can you imagine walking into Arbiters of Hexus main base and how that would actually go down? Like, it would be, like, banners everywhere. It would have, like, I feel like it would have a very cathedral feel to it.
I want it to have end of Return of the Jedi Yub Nub feel to it. That's what I want. Is that just me?
Maybe.
I want Ewoks making me soup.
That's probably in the new Loka.
Sign me up. Yeah, so I think, I mean, the problem with Iron Wake, while it was a good start, there's no reason to go there.
Well, I mean, they're trying to make more reason. I mean, we can go there now for the weekly Riven.
Yeah.
Yes, because everyone wants to crack open so many Requiem relics.
Mm. Exactly, I was just thinking to myself, shit, I've only got like 3 Riven slivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think it's an interesting question. I think you're right. The universe seems very quiet.
Ooh, actually.
It's such a busy place, yeah.
Actually, I just remembered something that we did not mention in the dev stream. It was kind of only really glossed over a little bit, but it was about the ephemera that you get from the sentient tile set.
Oh, yes.
They are bringing in a NPC that you will be able to purchase the ephemera from instead. So by doing the sentient tile set missions, you'll be able to rack up some points to purchase items from said NPC shop. So I feel like this would be a good opportunity maybe to give us another reason to go to Iron Wake, or kind of give us more of that feel that, you know, that we're looking at in this question. I think this is going to give us a bit more lore on the sentience as well, because I mean,
yeah, probably
receiving sentient based items from a non-sentient. Yes, right.
How do you know they're a non-sentient?
Well, that'd be even trippier. A fucking a sentient that's willing to actually side with us. But yeah, that's another thing that's coming, and that's another thing that I think would actually help give us more of this feeling of belonging in this world.
Yeah. I mean, probably some of the other issues are technical. How many people can you fit in a relay without taxing the PS4 or the person's computer too much? You know, there's probably a lot that factors into it. And in the end, how are you going to interact with the people? I mean, it'd be nice if they threw us a party every once in a while.
Press B to jump. Press B to jump. Press B to jump.
One thing that I think that's missing from the game is an actual celebration, like a Christmas time party within the game where you go to the relays and the relay changes and it's all dressed up and it's got, you know, celebrations as there's something going on and you can go to talk to different NPCs about things. You know, other MMOs tend to have those and Warframe doesn't.
Even Monster Hunter World has them.
Exactly. Monster Hunter World has them. Destiny has them. I don't know other games.
World of Warcraft has them.
There you go.
Final Fantasy XIV has them.
Final Fantasy XIV definitely has them. I think that's something that Warframe needs to not just boost the social aspect of the game, because obviously no one gives a shit about that, but to boost the just the feel of belonging.
Yeah.
So I really like that question, Tremanth. 5 stars.
Good damn question.
Indeed. All right, that brings us to the end of episode 79. Whoa, 79. That means that next week is episode 80. Damn.
Whoa.
I think we're going to have to skip the mini this week, Lucas. I'm not sure we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, you're out of town pretty much all week.
The entire week, yeah.
Entire week, yes. So we're going to have to hold it off.
Announcing it now, we're skipping the mini for this week. We'll talk about what we're going to do next week, because next week technically would be a Lorecast episode.
Yes.
So we will come back to you then.
And also a quick apology just for the lack of streaming and other things that we've been unable to do over the last couple of weeks due to life.
Yeah, so we'll get back into things. It is, you know, the new year has now kicked off and warmed up, so we should be able to get back into things now. Thanks for hanging around and sticking with us, and yeah, we're not going anywhere. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, head on over to the website cephalonsquared.com or send us an email at cephalonsquared@gmail.com. We won't bite. Say g'day. Give us some tips. Give us some suggestions. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, whatever you like. It's fun. We like hearing from people. Join our Discord, join our Facebook group, all of those fun stuff. Give us a rating on your podcast platform to help spread the word. Help us grow. If you'd like to support us in any other way, you can head on over to cephalonsquared.com/support. And on that note, let's say, a big thank you to our patrons.
Thank you, Rathok.
Thank you, Woe is Joe.
Thank you, Jellybean7099.
Thanks, Sula.
Thank you, Lord Frieson.
Thanks, Danathan.
Thank you, RedWizard12.
Thanks, KnightRider8503.
Thank you, CoyotePX.
Thanks, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
And thank you, Solarian. These people, of course, are our executive producers, and they keep the lights on and the air conditioners running while it's hot in summer here at Cephalon Squared HQ. Thank you to everyone. And of course, thank you to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro. Make sure you do send him a love letter every once in a while just to remind him that he's loved. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules. Wherever you wish to go looking for me, who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the interwebs, SilverLght. Massive shout out to our fantastic, glorious, amazing community. You guys rock.
Indeed you do. Lucas is correct. Again, sorry, we will have to skip the mini this week. Apologies for that if you were looking forward to Wukong. He's coming up. He's not too far away.
And look forward to the next stream coming up on Saturday, because we're going to be tackling January's challenge, thank you, to Sula. And you get to watch us suffer as we play PC without our controllers.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. It might be fun. We'll see. It'll be fun for everyone watching, that's for sure. And of course, don't forget to check out all of the other streams during the week. So there's Rathok Mondays, 10 a.m. Australian time, and Cannibal Kiwi Sundays. So he was earlier today at 11 a.m. or 10 a.m. Australian time. Anyway, that brings us to the end. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you in a week's time for episode 80.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.